C-O-I-N.
CBS News. Communist forces in South Vietnam score three more victories in their heaviest coordinated attack since 1972. U.S. intelligence says a major offensive could be coming in the next 6 weeks. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Tuesday in Vietnam began with communist forces newly in control of three district capitals. They overwhelmed government defenders of Duc Lap, Ho Duc, and Thien Phuoc, all far north gone. Outnumbered government forces still are holding defensive positions in part of the provincial capital of Banh Mi Thuot, which came under attack Sunday. Nine Americans, including a five-year-old girl who were trapped in the city, are reported safe, for the moment at least. The Saigon Command reports that all told, communist attacks ranging from Saigon all the way to the far northern part of South Vietnam involved at least 69 ground assaults and 120 shelling barrages between dawn Monday and sunup Tuesday. And senior defense and State Department officials in Washington now say communist troops are massing for a spring offensive in Vietnam, and they're looking for a showdown battle to develop in the next 6 weeks. An American protest has been lodged against North Vietnam. CBS News correspondent Bernard Kalb reports.
The United States has accused North Vietnam of carrying out a heavy infiltration of men and supplies into South Vietnam. A spokesman at the State Department saying that close to 50,000 North Vietnamese troops have moved into the South since the beginning of the year, and that Hanoi appears to have resumed its anticipated dry season offensive. This, the spokesman added, once again demonstrates North Vietnam's gross violations of the Paris Peace Accords of January 1973. And after cataloging his accusations against Hanoi, the spokesman said these latest developments on the battlefield in South Vietnam underscore the urgency of the Ford administration's request for an additional $300 million in military aid for the Saigon government. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
In Cambodia, insurgent gunners have launched their heaviest shelling of Phnom Penh's Ponchon Thong Airport in a week. Two domestic airliners were damaged, five people killed, and another 22 wounded as 56 rockets and artillery rounds hit the airport. Central Intelligence Agency Director William Colby today gave a congressional subcommittee what members termed a deeply pessimistic view of the ability of the Lon Nol regime to survive the siege of Phnom Penh. More news in a moment.
Now you're far away and all on your own, but don't you ever feel alone, 'cause I'm right with you in everything you do, right here by the phone. If you're feeling happy, or if you wanna weep, or you want a warm word before you sleep,
Simpson sings for the Bell System. Good friends are for keeps, so keep in touch. Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Good friends are forever, good friends are for keeps.
An escape in Northern Ireland by IRA members due for trial. Peter Martin has that story.
The Provisional IRA is claiming the British Army has violated the ceasefire and the guerrillas have threatened to take what they call military action. The threat to the month-long ceasefire comes from a Provisional IRA brigade based near the border of Northern Ireland and the Republic. The Provisionals there are over an army search operation conducted after IRA men escaped from a county courthouse in Newry. The IRA claims that soldiers violated the truce by searching a Catholic cathedral and Catholic homes in the area. Two of the prisoners were captured. 10 others are still at large. British officials have been in contact with the Provisional's political spokesman in the area in an urgent effort to avoid a breakdown of the truce. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
Secretary of State Kissinger Tuesday continues negotiations in Ankara with Turkish leaders in an attempt to build a fresh framework for talks leading to a solution of the Cyprus issue. Later in the day, he resumes discussions of Middle East peace, going back to Jerusalem. More after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact.
Sneeze
wheezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour Contac.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 Contac capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And Contac doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 Contac, thank you.
Give your cold to Contac, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contac only as directed.
Next year, it'll be illegal for children under 12 years of age to ride in the front seats of cars in Switzerland. 2 exceptions will be allowed. Children will be allowed in the front seat of a car if the back seat already is filled by other children, or, and this is eminently logical, if there is no back seat. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
The Oregon Court of Appeals ruled today that a woman accused of selling her 4-year-old daughter for $1,000 was innocent of child abandonment. The court says a child cannot be considered abandoned if left in a place where he or she would be cared for and protected. The Oregon House passed a bill today that would consolidate all elementary and union high school districts in the state. That measure now goes to the Senate. Officials of Pacific Power and Light Company testified today that the company's expansion program will be jeopardized if the state doesn't approve an $18 million rate increase. They appeared before the staff of the Oregon Public Utility Commissioner in the first of 7 hearings to consider that proposed rate hike. Fathers as well as mothers would be allowed to collect child support under a measure approved unanimously in the Oregon House today. And the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has requested the makers of Black Velvet Canadian Whiskey to change their billboard advertising in Oregon on grounds it's sexually suggestive. 97 Sports, Oregon's 2 teams in the National Junior College Athletic Association Region 18 basketball tourney in Twin Falls, Idaho, lost their first games tonight. Ricks College of Rexburg, Idaho, defeated Lane Community 81-71, and Southern Idaho of Twin Falls thumped Umpqua Community College 86-55. Lonnie Shelton of Oregon State has been named to the UPI All-Coast basketball team, while Ronnie Lee of Oregon was named to the second squad. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver, clearing tonight, mostly sunny tomorrow and Wednesday, after local morning fog or low clouds. Lows about 30, highs in the mid-50s, north winds becoming easterly tomorrow, rain chance less than 10% through tomorrow. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 45 degrees now at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. We have a little diversion for you that may both relax and intrigue you. It deals with the subject of dreams. A great deal, too much, I think, is said these days about facing reality. It is considered a great virtue to face reality, while to spend time dreaming, fantasizing, we call it now, is thought to be shameful, if not downright sinful. Personally, I would not care to live if I could not dream. Would you?
I saw you coming out of her room.
Did you now? Did you really?
I won't have it, I tell you. I won't stand for it.
Well, what do you propose to do about it?
I don't know, but I'll do something.
Like what?
I'll tell her who you really are.
Oh, come off it. Now, stop talking nonsense. You don't really know who I am. Our mystery drama, The Stuff of Dreams, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Bryna Rayburn. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Radio. It's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains, and radio does something else. It sells quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau. Back to the subject of dreaming, which is what our story concerns itself with. Not the dreaming we do at night, which is somehow considered respectable because we think we do not control it. No, this story is about the dreaming we do while we are wide awake.
You sure you got the right address?
I believe so.
111?
That's right.
Mrs. Tipton?
That's right.
Well, she ain't gonna come to the door.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, she never does. Nobody ever does.
Well, somebody will today.
You think so, huh? Well, you're wrong. You'll find out. I lived at 113 all my life, born there. I was here when she moved in 20 years ago. Moved in and never came out. If it weren't for Mrs. Hutchins, the cleaning lady comes once a week. We think she was dead. But Mrs. Hutchins has her own key. Mrs. Tipton, don't let her in. You can stand there for 100 years. She'll never come to the door.
I really don't think it's any of your business.
Well, I'm just telling you what I know.
Look, I happen to be answering an advertisement. See? Here it is. I cut it out of the morning paper. It's about a job.
Something happened to Mrs. Hutchins? The cleaning lady? Well, she was here yesterday.
It's not an advertisement for a cleaning woman.
What's it for?
Well, it doesn't say exactly, but there's no mistake about the address or the name. Mrs. Hilda Tipton, 111 West.
That's her, all right.
So, see?
You're the first person that I've ever seen ring that bell in 20 years. Must be something up inside there.
But I really wouldn't know.
Oh, wait till I tell my sister. Will she get a kick out of this? Oh, hey, you mind if I stand here till she opens the door? That is, if she ever does open the door, which still remains in a doubt.
I do mind. I want this job. The money's very good, and won't help my chances if she sees you standing there gawking at her.
Well, I'm not gawking. I got every right to be here. Just walking my dog, that's all. I do it every day, 3 times a day. Trixie and I always stop in front of 111 for a couple of minutes. We got a right.
Well, just the same. If you wouldn't mind.
Okay, okay. Trixie's all finished anyway. Come on, Trix. We go home. We ain't wanted here, that's plain.
Thank you.
We can watch from our porch anyway, can't we, old girl? Sure we can.
Oh! What was...
Oh, my son. The sun's so bright. Well, come inside. Come in, for goodness sake.
You did say 3 o'clock, didn't you? I mean, that's what I understood on the phone. Didn't you say...
Go ahead. Go on into the drawing room. Go ahead. It takes me a little time.
At first, I thought that maybe you weren't home or I'd made a mistake or something. Oh. What a beautiful room. How perfectly beautiful.
Well, I was on the phone when you rang the bell. It takes me a while to get around. All this weight I have to carry. I have a glandular condition.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, go on, sit down. No, no, not there. That's a priceless antique.
I'm sorry. Well, where shall I...
Any place. I'm going to lie down on the couch myself. You don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. I'll just stand.
If you want to. See, I have a heart condition, and my weight problem makes it worse. So... I have to be careful. Now, you came about the position.
Yes.
What's your name? You told me on the phone, but I've forgotten. I talked to a lot of girls.
My name is May Cook.
May Cook?
Yes.
That's not a very imaginative name.
Oh, well, it's mine. It's the only one I've got.
Well, you could change it to Maybell, something like that.
Well, I don't really want to.
Oh, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. I myself changed my name from Hilda to Hildegard, but didn't seem to make much difference because I never see anybody or correspond with anybody or have anything to do with anybody, really.
Not ever. Not anybody.
Not since my husband divorced me and took my son away from me.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, I am sorry.
Not at all. He gave me plenty of money, and I bought this house and furnished it.
But even so, to leave you alone like that...
Oh, I never think about it. Or them. They got in the way.
Got in the way? In the way of what?
My kind of life.
Mrs. Tipton... It's really hard to see where I'd fit in. I'm a trained social worker. That's how I make my living. At least, that was how I made my living. I was discharged 6 months ago. They were cutting down and... Well, I haven't been able to find anything in my field, and I'm running short of money, so... So I'm willing to take almost any kind of job if it's respectable.
Look, I'm not going to ask you to do anything you wouldn't ordinarily do.
But do you need a secretary? Something like that? I think I could manage that, maybe. Or be a companion.
Oh, I don't want a secretary or a companion. Why would I? I never do anything, and I prefer being alone.
Well, what is it that you do want?
I want somebody to live for me.
To live for you?
Precisely.
Well, I really don't know what that means, Mrs. Tipton. I never heard of anybody living for somebody else.
Well, I shall explain. I don't pretend that my life in this house is living. Not what most people would call living. Though what do they know? Nothing. Actually, my life here is infinitely superior to what they would call living.
Well, what precisely do you do, Mrs. Tipton?
I dream.
Just dream, that's all?
What do you mean, that's all? Oh, it's easy to see. You don't know much about dreaming.
Well, you mean daydreaming? I know about that. I daydream sometimes. Everybody does, once in a while.
Yes, but how many make it a life's work?
Oh, not many, I guess.
Hardly anybody would be my guess.
Well, people don't have the time. They can't afford it. I know I certainly can't.
Ah, but I do have the time, and I can afford it.
But it sounds strange.
Of course it sounds strange. No one has the sensitivity or the imagination to withdraw completely into the life of fantasy. A life peopled with the oddest creatures, doing the oddest things in the oddest way, saying incredible things, producing incredible... Incredible sensations.
You make it sound fascinating. But
I'm a very ordinary person, really. I don't think I could do anything like that.
Of course you couldn't. And that wouldn't be what I'd require of you.
Well, I think we really ought to discuss that. You said you wanted me to live for you.
I want you out in the world, what people call the real world, living what they call a real life.
And that's all?
That's all. You're a social worker. You must have got around a lot.
Well, some.
Do you have a lover?
There's a man I'm interested in. We're not... What you said. I'm just interested in him.
My, but you're a proper little thing, aren't you? Well, never mind. I'd want you to go on dating whatever you've been doing with this man and whatever else you do with your time.
And that's all?
And report back to me once a week. Tell me what you've done.
I can't believe that that's all I'd have to do. You'd pay me for doing that?
Yes. $300 a week.
That's a great deal of money for just living and telling you about it. I just can't see why you'd want to pay me for doing just that.
Oh, if you insist on an explanation...
Well, I'd like to understand if I can.
Oh, very well.
You see, I'd be better at the job, I think, if I understood a little.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, I'm thoroughly convinced that I've created the perfect life for myself. I live surrounded by beauty, charm.
It is a beautiful house.
All the senses are satisfied here. Do you smell the perfume in this room?
Yes, it's lovely.
I have it changed once a month. You see those draperies? Pure silk from Thailand. $100 a yard.
Oh.
And they are due to be changed shortly.
When you change them, do you just throw the others away?
Oh, you'd like to have them, wouldn't you? Well, perhaps if you're a very good girl.
Well, they're so lovely.
Everything in this house is lovely. Except me.
Oh, Mrs. Tipton.
Nobody weighing close to 300 pounds could be considered lovely, but it doesn't matter. Because I have my dreams. And in my dreams, I weigh exactly 110. And my hair grows to my waist and is a light auburn in color. And my feet are small and narrow. And my eyes are clear and bright. And my fingers are long and tapering. Never mind. The point is that in my dreams, I am the loveliest thing on earth. And the loveliest things happen to me.
And why do you...
That's been my life for 20 years. And I've adored every second of it. But now... Well, I'm starting to grow older. It's sad, but I... Well, I'm growing older, and it's harder than it used to be to dream my beautiful dreams.
But everybody grows older, Mrs. Tipton, eventually.
I don't intend to. No, no. I mean to go on living in my dreams until the very end. If there ever is an end.
But there has to be, doesn't there? I mean, for everybody.
Not for me.
But I still don't see what you want me to do. I mean, I don't see what possible help I could be to you.
I need food for my dreams.
Food?
They're starting to grow stale, my dreams, repetitious. I've dreamed each one of them a million times. I need new ones.
But can't you just make them up?
No, I can't. I need some contact with life as it's lived by others. You know, sometimes lately I've had the sensation that I was melting into my dreams, that I was vanishing into them, that I was becoming nothing but my dreams. But what I need now is to build a little bridge between me and the outside world. And since I clearly can't do this myself, I must have someone do it for me.
And that's what you want me to do? Build a bridge for you?
You think you can?
I can try. I'd like to try.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Miss Cook.
How are you?
How should I be?
I know it must be hard for you.
I've done time before.
Oh, I feel so bad. It's my fault, really, that you're here.
Well, so you turned me in. You did your duty. You were a good citizen.
Yes, but...
So you feel bad?
No, Eddie. You know I take a special interest in you. You know that.
Oh, yes, I know that.
You haven't had an easy life.
You know anybody who's had what you'd call an easy life? I don't, Miss Cook.
You have to call me Miss Cook. I thought we were getting to be friends.
Well, you know something? I forgot your first name.
It's May.
May. I'll call you Maisie, okay?
Well, okay. At least it's better than Maybelle.
Maybelle? What kind of a name is that?
A woman I interviewed about a job yesterday. She thought I should change my name to Maybelle.
Oh.
Needless to say, I declined. Although I must admit, if she'd insisted, I'd have done it. The job pays so well.
Wait, well, you got a new job?
Oh, it's very strange. I don't know how it's going to work out.
Well, now, wait a minute. It's legal, isn't it?
Yes. It's perfectly legal.
Okay, so what's the job? What does it pay?
Well, you're not going to believe it. $300 a week.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. This woman, I don't know if she's crazy or what. She lives in this beautiful house. All this beautiful furniture, rugs, pictures. She never has any company. She never goes out.
Why not?
She doesn't want to. 20 years ago, her husband divorced her, and he got custody of their little boy. So she bought this gorgeous house, and she lives there.
Doing what?
Dreaming.
She sleeps all the time?
No, I think she means daydreaming, making up things.
Well, so what does she need you for, to help her make up things?
Well, she wants me to live for her.
How are you supposed to do that?
She says that all I have to do is live my normal life and once a week come and tell her about it.
What's to tell?
Well, she thinks if she has some sort of contact with the outside world, she thinks that would help her with her dreams.
Oh, that's what she needs, help with her dreams.
And I get $300 a week. Isn't that crazy? Well, isn't it? Say something.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
What about?
I come up for parole next week. I think it'll go through. They practically promised me.
Now, what are you going to do when you get out?
Well, I told them I had a dishwashing job, and I do.
Where are you going to live?
Yeah, it was some flop house, I guess.
Well, you'll get a better job. I have great faith in you, Eddie. And if there's anything I can do to help, you know you can count on me.
Maisie, there's one thing you could do to help.
Well, what's that?
When I get out of here, let me move in with you.
Eddie,
Just for a little while, till I get back on my
feet.
I don't mean shack up together. I mean, just let me sleep on the couch or the floor, anything.
Well...
It'd mean everything to me.
Well... For a while, maybe. Okay. You can stay with me for a little while.
Dear sweet Mother Nature, at whose shrine we all pretend to worship and whose dictums we constantly violate, what oddities she does create. Perhaps to revenge herself on us for our misdeeds. Perhaps to punish us for our hypocrisy, perhaps to show her contempt for our stupidity. Whatever her reasons, it is an undeniable fact that here and there are specimens of her handiwork that shock, terrify, and appall us. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things, who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. taste of Beechwood Aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? When you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Madam, can I step inside? You see, I'm taking a survey. We're not selling anything, of course.
Well, if you're sure you're not selling...
Absolutely, I guarantee it. I see you have children. Do they do well in school? Now, if you'll just sign here, madam, you'll receive all 10 items for free, except for the handling charges, you understand. Pennies a day, really.
Wait just a moment, madam. Don't sign that paper. That's a contract. And believe me, nothing in this deal is for free.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, reminding you to read this contract carefully before you sign it. Don't be taken in by the story that anything of value is free. And remember that pennies a day add up to a considerable amount. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Our tender little heroine, Miss May Cook, has secured a position with Mrs. Hilda Tipton, wealthy recluse. In return for a handsome salary, Miss Cook has only to lead her ordinary life and report weekly to her employer its mundane contents. To be, in Mrs. Tipton's words, her bridge to the outside world. For Mrs. Tipton spends all her time dreaming. Just dreaming. While in another part of town altogether is a man called Eddie, who spends his time in prison also dreaming. Dreaming of the day of his parole.
Got the job, didn't you? She ought to give you your own key. I know she doesn't like answering the doors. Mrs. Hutchins has her own key. She lets herself in. So why don't she give you your own key? You're getting to be as snooty as she is. Come on, Trixie. Let's not hang around where we're not wanted. We can always watch from the porch.
Oh, come on in, May. Hurry up. Looks like rain. Terrible day. Go on in. Take your coat off. Go on in. I hope to goodness you've got something to tell me. Something with a little spice to it. I don't mind telling you what you tell me about the world out there. It makes me glad I don't live in it. Oh, move that pillow, will you?
Which one?
On the couch, the gold one. I need it for my back. That's it.
Well, the beginning of the week wasn't so very exciting. I bought some clothes.
What kind of clothes?
Well, a couple of shirt-waist dresses and...
Shirt-waist dresses?
Oh, they're very nice.
Nice?
I paid quite a lot of money for them.
Oh, didn't you buy anything, you know, sexy?
No.
Nothing long and filmy and, you know... Revealing?
No, I've never worn that sort of thing.
But didn't you tell me you were in love with some man?
Yes, that's true, I am.
You wear shirt-waist dresses when you're with him? Alone with him, I mean?
Well, he hasn't been in town lately.
Where's he been?
Away.
Away where? Oh, you don't want to tell me. Okay. When's he coming back?
Well, he is back. He came back last night.
Oh, good. So, what did you do last night, the two of you?
Well, we went out for dinner, seeing as it was his first night home.
What did you eat?
He had steak, I had fish. We both had salad and ice cream.
Oh, Lord. Even the food you eat is dull. Don't you ever eat anything interesting?
We used to go to a Chinese restaurant sometimes.
Yeah. I bet you ate chop suey.
Yes.
So, after that splendid repast of steak and fish and ice cream. And what did you do, huh?
Well, we went to a movie.
What movie?
The one in the neighborhood. Forget the name of it.
Oh, May, you could make up a name.
Why would I do that?
Well, you know I never go out of this house. I don't know one movie from another. So if you made up the name of a movie, I wouldn't know the difference.
But why should I?
Because you're lying. You never went to any movie. Not last night, not after your lover's been away, out of town, whatever. No. I want the truth, young lady. I want the whole truth. You've been coming here, what is it, 3 weeks now, and you haven't said one word that was interesting. Near as I can tell, nothing happens out there in the world. Nothing, nothing whatsoever.
It's true. Nothing much does happen to me, Mrs. Tipton.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for an instant. I couldn't have been so wrong about you.
I never said that I was interesting or anything like that.
I know,
never...
but there was something about you. I heard it in your voice over the telephone. So sweet, so mild, so eager to please. And then when I met you, I could see it in your face.
I don't know what you could see. I'm just...
Hunger. The yearning. You wanted my draperies, didn't you?
Oh, but only if you were going to throw them out.
Well, you'd take secondhand things if they were fancy, expensive. And then there was your manner. The way you smiled and agreed with everything I said, even if I was rude. I knew you must have another side to you. What I saw couldn't be the whole of May Cook. There must be another part of her that was jealous and spiteful and angry.
No! No,
and,
I'm not!
And
no.
Guilty! Guilty of being spiteful and jealous and greedy.
No, Mrs. Tipton!
Yes, no. Miss Cook. Now... suppose you tell me about this lover of yours. Tell me all about him. What's his name? That'll do for a start.
Eddie.
Eddie what? You said he's been out of town.
He's been in jail.
In jail? In jail? Well, that's wonderful. In jail for what? What did he do?
Well, he broke into somebody's apartment.
Your apartment?
No, no.
Then how'd you get to know him?
It was the apartment of a friend of mine. So when she had to go to court to identify him, I went with her. She was frightened, so I went with
her.
Now,
hold on. I remember enough of the world to know that when a person says it happened to a friend, it didn't. It happened to that very person. So, this Eddie didn't break into the apartment of a friend of yours, did he? He broke into your apartment, and that's how you met him. Am I right? Isn't that what happened?
Yes.
Of course. Of course. Now, how did he get in?
Through the kitchen window.
And you heard him moving around?
Yes.
What did he steal?
Well, I didn't have very much. He took my mother's engagement ring and her wedding ring. I had a little cash, about $20. He took that.
And what else?
Oh, that's about all.
I don't want to hear about all. I want to hear all. What else did he take?
Nothing else.
He took you, didn't he?
I don't know what you mean.
I mean he took you by force against your will. I mean rape you, Ninny. He raped you, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Why don't you admit it?
Mrs. Tipton, I can't admit to something that never happened.
Oh, you make me sick.
Well, if that's so, perhaps I better not work for you any longer.
Then give up all that money. You need it. You know you do.
Not that much.
Look. I want you to do one more thing for me. Then we can call it quits. I want you to bring this Eddie person here to my house. I want to meet him.
I don't know if he'd want to come, Mrs. Tipton.
Bring him. Tomorrow night. I'll expect you both. For dinner. I've had enough conversation for today. You can go now. Your money's on the little table by the front door.
Thank you, Mrs. Tipton.
$100 bills. Crispy new ones.
Thank you, Mrs. Tipton.
For once, I got my money's worth. And I mean to get much more. Much, much more.
That's all you told her? That I spent part of a year in a slammer?
Well, there wasn't anything else to tell.
Well, it just doesn't add up.
Well, what doesn't add up, Eddie?
Well, that this old bag would want to meet me. I don't care how nutty she is or how lonely or how anything. That's not enough of a reason. No. There's got to be something else. Yeah, I know what these biddies have on their minds. All the time they got it on their minds. Didn't she ask anything about that?
About what?
You and me. About sex, dummy.
She didn't ask me. She told me.
Told you what?
That... that you raped me.
I knew it. There had to be something.
Well, of course, I said you didn't.
Then what?
Then nothing. She got disgusted with me because I wouldn't say that you... Because I wouldn't say something happened that never happened. And so I said that maybe if that was the way she felt about me, maybe I better not work for her anymore.
You said that?
She didn't seem to care whether I quit or not. There was just one more thing she wanted me to do. And that was to bring you to her house tomorrow night for dinner.
And you said you would?
Well, I said I'd ask you. You don't have to go.
What do you mean, I don't have to go?
Oh, she's pretty weird.
I want to go.
But, Eddie, I really believe Mrs. Tipton wants to think you raped me. I mean, I don't think she believed me at all when I said you didn't.
Well, we can set her straight, can't we?
Well, I don't think she wants to be set straight. Oh, it was a nice job while it lasted.
Oh, it isn't over yet.
Oh, yes, it is. I've made up my mind. After tomorrow night, I'm never going near that house again.
You know, you're perfectly right. You're not cut out for that job.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah, but me? I was tailor-made for that job.
You? You mean you'd go to work for her?
Well, why not? You said it was legal, didn't you?
Yes, it's legal, but...
Well, I can tell my parole officer I'm working for a rich lady who is slightly eccentric. It'll sound great.
Oh, Eddie, I don't know.
Yeah, but I do know. Look, you made hash out of that job.
I know I did. It's
but I won't, believe me. I'll make it into the best-paying job in the world.
Oh, you just want the money, is that it? Not that I blame you. I wanted it, too. But, you see, it isn't worth it. Look... Here's the $300 that I got paid today. You take it. I really don't want it, and you need it, so you take it.
You're going to get some money I care about.
Look, here. Three $100 bills.
Hand them over.
Here.
Give me a match.
What for?
Never mind. I got one someplace.
What do you want a match for?
I got it.
Eddie. Oh, you can't. Oh, don't do that. That's $300.
Don't they burn pretty, though?
Well, some people have money to burn, I guess. Not me, and nobody I know either. And even if we did have, I don't think we'd go ahead and actually do it. I mean, we'd somehow think of something else, anything else to do with it beside burn it. I mean to say, $100 bills are legal tender, not legal tender. We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
In God we trust. America speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
It is the next night now, and May is bringing Eddie to have dinner with Mrs. Tipton. Or is it the other way round? Is Eddie bringing May to the house of a woman he has never met? For contrary to May's expectations, Eddie jumped at the chance to meet May's employer. More correctly, her former employer. For May fully intends to resign, and Eddie fully intends to take her place. It is 7 o'clock, and May and Eddie are arriving at number 111.
Okay, keep the change.
Well, well, well.
Don't pay any attention to him.
Who is he?
He lives next door.
Well, I didn't expect to see you. Not tonight.
Remember, Eddie, this is the last time I'm going to come to this house.
I got you.
And with a man alongside you, too. Mrs. Tipton must be loosening up a bit. Am I right?
Just ignore him.
For 20 years, it was just Mrs. Hutchins went through that door. Then the young lady makes an appearance. Now, lo and behold, a young gentleman.
Why don't you just go on home, huh?
I live next door.
Well, go there.
Okay. Come along, Trixie. We'll sit on the front porch and watch what happens.
Ah, oh, there you are. I've been waiting. Come in. Come in.
The most delicious meal I've ever been privileged to enjoy, Mrs. Tipton.
Better than prison food, Eddie.
Well, I haven't always eaten prison food.
I'll just bet you haven't. Oh, May, fetch Eddie another helping with a burnt almond mousse.
Yes, Mrs. Tipton.
Eddie?
Huh?
You remind me of somebody. I can't think who.
Your husband, perhaps?
Oh, heavens, no. My husband was a stick.
Your son?
Well, considering I haven't seen my son since he was 5 years old. Now you're more like someone I've dreamed about.
Here's your dessert, Eddie.
Well, just set it down.
When you've finished, maybe you'd like to see the rest of the house, Eddie. You've seen the first floor. Maybe you'd like to see the second floor.
Oh, well, that would be a privilege.
My bedroom, I think, is my masterpiece. It's in shades of beige at the moment. From ivory through parchment to ecru. Though I may change it.
Let me look at it first.
Oh, I will.
I've never seen your bedroom, Mrs. Tipton.
No, you haven't, have you? And I once promised to show it to you, didn't I?
Yes.
Well, then we'll all look at it together. Eddie, finished your mousse?
All finished.
I really should have an elevator installed. These stairs are getting to be too much for me. Ah. Voila. Entrez.
Oh, how perfectly. How perfectly exquisite.
That's very nice. I commend your taste, Mrs. Tipton. Oh,
you really like it.
Yeah, I really do. But you said you were going to change it.
Oh, I change everything regularly. I get tired after a while. I need new things, new colors, new textures.
New sensations?
Most of all, new sensations.
Well, I have some thoughts on how you could redecorate this room.
Oh, have you indeed?
Oh, I wouldn't change a thing.
Who asked you?
Oh, it's just an opinion.
I'm interested in Eddie's opinion, not yours. Well, why don't you go downstairs and clean the table?
Why don't you? And wash the dishes.
Yeah, I prefer to stay here. I wasn't hired to clear the table and wash the dishes.
And nevertheless, just this once. This one time.
Not this one time. Not any time.
May, step outside with me for a minute, huh?
Outside where?
Well, just outside in the hall.
What for?
Well, for a little conversation, that's all. Now, come on. After you.
Right. Just for a few minutes.
Now, look, I want 5 minutes alone with Mrs. Tipton.
You really want to work for her? You want to do her living for her?
I really want to.
Eddie, you don't know what she's like.
Oh, I know exactly what she's like. She's another one of those women. I've known them all my life.
What women?
Women like you.
Oh, she's nothing like me.
Not outside, but inside, you're alike. You're the kind that likes criminals. You like everything about them. If I wasn't a criminal, you wouldn't like me.
I wanted to help you. To understand you, to help you to understand yourself.
I understand myself perfectly. I understand myself backwards, forwards, sideways. I'm bad, Maisie. Bad.
No, not really.
Yes,
no.
really. She understands that fat blob in there. I'm what she's been dreaming about all these years. Lust and lasciviousness and uncontrolled passion. Dreaming of a life where anything goes and the world belongs to the clever and the strong.
I'd never lived that way. I've never dreamed about those things.
Oh, yes, you have, baby. You haven't got the gumption to do anything for yourself. So you find somebody like me and pretend you want to change me. But you want to rehabilitate me. Isn't that what you call it? Well, I can't be rehabilitated, baby. I don't want to be. And that fat lady in there doesn't want me rehabilitated. She wants me just the way I am. So now, if you'll excuse me.
Eddie.
Mrs. Tipton. Well, you've turned off all the lights.
The moonlight comes through the windows.
Well, how romantic. Moonlight streaming through parchment silk. And where are you, Mrs. Tipton?
Here, Eddie.
Well, now, would you by any chance be in the big canopy bed, Mrs. Tipton? The big bed draped in ivory net?
Silk net.
But I can scarcely see you.
You can hear my voice.
So I can, Hilda.
Oh, call me Hildegard.
You said I reminded you of someone.
Someone I've known intimately.
Well, suppose I light a match and you take a look at my face. Think who it is I remind you of. You ready?
Oh, yes. Why, I know you. I know you. You. Is it possible?
Is what possible?
That you are him, the fiend, the arch fiend.
Am I?
Oh, light another match.
Look carefully at my face, Hildegard.
Oh, is it possible? You're here with me. And you are going to...
To what?
You're going to force yourself on me, aren't you? Oh, I know it. It's what I've dreamed of. Oh, light another match, my beloved. Your majesty, your satanic majesty. I am your servant, your slave. What is that? The room is growing red. There's fire. The bed is on fire.
Mrs. Hutchins. Mrs. Hutchins.
I'm in a hurry.
Oh, terrible thing about the fire.
Terrible.
That beautiful house. Though I've never been inside, of course. Have they been questioning you, the police and the fire people?
Yes.
Well, they'll get around to me later. Me and my sister.
No doubt.
We were the ones who called the fire department, you know. Didn't they tell you?
No.
Oh, yes. My sister and I heard this sort of explosion. And then we saw smoke coming out of one of the upstairs rooms.
Mrs. Tipton's gorgeous bedroom.
Is that what room it was?
Yes.
Then she must have started it herself.
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, nobody got out, I understand.
Nobody.
Where was Mrs. Tipton at the time?
In her bed.
They found her there?
Yes.
And the young girl, Miss Cook, I believe her name was?
Outside the door.
The door to the bedroom?
Yes. And the door was locked.
Why, the poor girl must have been trying to get in to save Mrs. Tipton.
It looks that way.
But where was the man?
What man?
The man who came to the house with the young lady.
There was no man.
Of course there was a man. He drove up about dinner time with the young lady, and they went into the house together. Now, He never came out because my sister and I watched the house back and front. From that moment on, we were so surprised to see a man going in.
No man was found in the house.
Well, wait till they get to questioning me. I'll tell them about the man that went in and never came out.
You'll only be making a fool of yourself.
Well, it must have been the man that set the fire.
The fire started in the bedroom, and the door to the bedroom was locked. And no body of any man was found, so there. Now, I've got to be getting on home. You can tell your fanciful tale to the police if you want to.
But how did it happen? How did the fire start?
It was the work of the devil, if you ask me. He has sly ways, the devil has. Very sly ways.
And all their pretty dreams went up in smoke, which I am given to understand is not an uncommon fate for dreams that are too remote from reality, and in particular dreams of violence. These especially are doomed to end in smoke and fire and death. So dream away, my friends, as I shall continue to do. But be careful what your dreams are made of. I'll be back shortly.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So if Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
Now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. As so often happens, the final word is given to the one who says it best, Master William Shakespeare, born 1564, died 1616. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Bryna Rayburn, Jack Grimes, and Dan Arco. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Go on.
I don't know that I can. I've never understood what made these people what they were, but this I know. There are angels on this earth and there are devils. And you, madam, I say it to you, even in your dying moments, you are a devil. I don't blame you for looking at me like that. I spoke on impulse. I'm ashamed.
Ashamed? You are the first man who has ever dared to...
Berenice.
Stay away. Stand back. Don't touch me. Only listen. You will be haunted by the magnet that drew you to me. The weapon with which I ruined your life and will destroy you. My smile, Ernest. My smile.
No.
Look at me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 12 midnight, and news is next.
KOIN!
CBS News. Communist forces have taken the offensive in a corridor spanning virtually the entire western section of South Vietnam. It's reportedly the biggest coordinated attack since ground forces of the United States pulled out 2 years ago. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Saigon High Command concedes government forces are under attack, now not only in the Central Highlands where fighting intensified last week, but in a broad north-south corridor involving just about the entire western border of South Vietnam. The establishment of such a salient long has been considered a major communist military objective. Government military spokesmen concede two district towns certainly have fallen, two others may have been overrun by attacking communist forces, and three major government airports came under rocket attack: Bien Hoa, close to Saigon, Pleiku in the highlands, and Da Nang on the coast, far to the north. Government forces still are struggling to hold on to the embattled district town of Banh Mi Thuot. Bruce Dunning has that story.
Military sources said the North Vietnamese now control about one half of the city, primarily residential and business districts. During the night, government forces succeeded in driving the North Vietnamese out of government buildings in the northern part of the city. The government has also managed to retake the smaller of the two airfields that serve the city. But heavy fighting continues around the main airport and around the ammunition depot. A battalion of government rangers who had been operating east of the city managed to get back to join the 2,000 militiamen who were the city's only defenders for the first 24 hours. Government fighter bombers are bombing the outskirts of the city and are strafing communist positions inside. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Saigon.
The Cambodia story when CBS News continues following this message.
Give your hand to
three or one? That's the question when you catch the common cold. Then take 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief from sneezing, congestion, drips. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. Your cold, your choice. 6 or 3 or 1. Give your cold to Contact, the number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact only as directed.
Insurgent gunners in Cambodia are reported to have launched the heaviest shelling attack in a week on Phnom Penh's Panchantong Airport. 56 rockets and artillery rounds hit the airport. 2 domestic airliners were damaged, 5 people killed, another 22 wounded. The U.S.-supported supply airlift, however, continues undaunted. This afternoon, the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Foreign Assistance takes up President Ford's urgent request for an additional $222 million to keep Cambodian government forces fighting until the rainy season. Senate GOP leader Hugh Scott, in a break with the administration, has joined those calling for a change in leadership in Cambodia. South Dakota's George McGovern, at a news conference in Louisville, Kentucky, spoke out against aid, regardless of Cambodian leadership, saying that aid would only continue the killing.
It's my own view that we're simply prolonging the agony to continue shipping in armaments. We might keep the fighting going for a few more weeks or a few more months, but that's about all that would be accomplished. And meanwhile, the killing goes on.
Democratic Senator George McGovern of South Dakota. The Harris survey reports that 65% of the American people oppose U.S. military aid abroad. The pollsters, sampling a cross-section of 1,513 adults, found 22% favor the sale of military equipment to other nations. 13% were undecided. Secretary of State Kissinger will spend the morning and early afternoon in Ankara in continuing discussions with Turkish leaders. He's reported attempting to structure a fresh framework for talks that would lead to a solution of Cyprus problems. Later today, Kissinger concludes 24 hours taken away from Middle East shuttle diplomacy. He returns to Jerusalem, where he'll continue efforts to arrange a new military disengagement between Israel and Egypt. More news in a moment.
They said it couldn't be done by fleas and ticks all in one. The two in one comma from hearts, the two in one comma.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks, too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Hi, we're all Donnie Bracken at Mike Roy's Kitchen, and tomorrow, folks, the Super Chef is going to serve up a continental treat. Tell him about it, Sir Mike.
We make la fromande.
Ah, that is continental, all right. French, huh? What does it mean?
Belgian waffles.
Oh.
A little touch of brandy in there makes a big difference always, and it's there in the waffles.
Hmm.
It's a little time to make, but boy, are they worth it. They're rich and loaded with calories. And
maybe they're French-Belgian waffles, huh?
No. They're Belgian waffles.
Well, come waffle our way tomorrow, friends, for the cook thing. Here, won't you, on CBS RadioNet?
Two studies published in the Journal of the American Medical Association say vitamin C will not prevent or cure the common cold. But vitamin C enthusiasts insist they have fewer colds. The debate bids fair to continue. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
In Seattle, a 7-member task force made up of officers from King County and Seattle police departments begun reassessing evidence concerning the missing and dead women discovered there. Sheriff Lawrence Walt said the task force is studying all the evidence collected about the cases since last year and handling new leads. Walt said the task force will operate out of the County Police Criminal Investigation Division. It'll probably be at least 2 weeks before the 7 men are up to date and fully functional. I fear that tribal members are losing touch with their past has prompted the Tribal Council of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs in Oregon to initiate a cultural heritage program. A program reported by Nathan Jim, who's organizing the project. He said the program is designed to address 2 broad needs. One, for tribal members to be better acquainted with their culture. And the second, a need for non-Indian people from outside the reservation to understand and appreciate the Indian cultural heritage and the Indian's way of life. Federal Judge James Burns has ordered a pre-sentence investigation for 25-year-old Albert Brotherton of Portland, who pleaded guilty today to a bank robbery charge. Witnesses said the robber got away with nearly $9,400 after telling employees of the First National Bank of Oregon branch at 181st and Stark that he was carrying dynamite. However, authorities say they found no dynamite when Brotherton was arrested shortly after the holdup.